Welcome to the 1-2 podcast, bringing you everything PSL, brought to you by Football Conversations.
FC family, welcome to the 1-2 podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations. This is the 1-2 podcast where we bring you everything PSL. STV Premiership. Gents, how are you guys doing?
Hey, sharp, sharp, Werner.
Hey, sharp, sharp. This is how you, man.
Yeah, I'm right. By Jen, I mean Cesar and Horsey, everybody. So, excuse me for not giving them the intro that these two esteemed gentlemen deserve. Anyway, guys, let's go right in. And just to give everyone just a little bit of info, we are recording right now whilst Mamelodi Sundowns and Stellenbosch Football Club are playing their round of 32 game in the Nedbank Cup. Currently, it is 1-1. It is a goal apiece for both sides. All right, and it's one of the few all PSL link-ups in this round of fixtures for the tournament. So yeah, it's really exciting. Okay, guys. Speaking of exciting, this past weekend we saw the Soweto Derby. We saw the first of two Soweto Derbies this year, I believe. Right, and yeah, Cesar. Tell us, man. How the mighty Orlando Pirates beat their famed rivals 2-1.
It was an interesting game, quite fantastic when you get to look at it. Much anticipated one. But of course, it was always going to be tactics up against, of course, work ethic. It was always going to be psychological mind games, a psychological warfare in the middle of the park. Not only that, of course, players tend to get into the mood whenever they're playing in derbies. All derbies, they tend to also make players to be into a little bit of a different stature when you get to look at it. The Zimbabwe's approach was quite simple. It was to play the ball on the floor, try and penetrate through, of course, the defense of Kaizer Chiefs or over the top as well. Because there were a couple of occasions, of course, when Kaizer Chiefs were looking a little bit reluctant in terms of, you know, dealing with those aerial balls, especially Cardoso or Gay at the back there with their aerial ability. But, of course, Ben Munari in the middle of the park are dominating and making sure that up against Bloom, as well as Bakas, who started the game a little bit off wide. But as the game progressed, he went into the middle of the park and then he just added a bit of numbers so that it can be congested, so that they can be able to then try and find Manyama. But Nokovic had a fine start each and every time Kaizer Chiefs' Daniel Cardoso was playing the balls in the air. He could receive them and then play it back, of course, to Manyama, who then profits on the second balls. But other than that, sloppy defensive errors which occurred, which led to the first goal. But Kaizer Chiefs had a decent fine start. They started on the front foot, attack Pirates, but in all aspects it pulled off at of course at the right moment, where Thembinkosi Lorge just managed to beat the offside trap. And a lot of people speculation thinking that it was an offside trap. But I think that game also on its own, Lukolo was a little bit unbalanced in terms of, you know, dealing with that game, because I think that it kind of took toll on him. But he dealt with it at some later stage, at some later point. But well done to Orlando Pirates. Great performance on the day. But Kaizer Chiefs were also unlucky. Penalty occurred, Ben Mutari. And then of course, that saga, Blom having to bring down Benson Bula inside that box, but it wasn't our Pirates were given a penalty. But all in all, it was a good match. Kevin Hunt's approach wasn't perfect, but Zimbabwe's was perfectly executed. So Orlando Pirates wanted it more. They were eager, showed more sharpness in terms of making sure that they get inside that box. Sam pulling a hamstring, having to come out, then Marco having to come in, provide a little bit of width, was adventurous. He first pulled it off, but it didn't come to par. But immediately when it came the second time, Ndlovu profited. And that's when, of course, Orlando Pirates got that second cushion goal, and that allowed them a little bit of breathing space.
Mm. Pussy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it, if my eyes were deceiving me, because I was sitting there, I was sitting there at GP headquarters watching this game, with a bunch of guys, and everyone there agreed that most of the goal scoring chances, the clear cut goal scoring chances, belong to Kaizer Chiefs. Yeah. That whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see it in a similar fashion? What did you think?
Yeah, look, particularly these stats, like most of the stats show that Chiefs had like 19 shots, or obviously just maybe 4 on target. But it was mostly because they were missing so many chances. Lebogang Maanyama, yes, no nale chance, he just ballooned it off, just way wide and up high. I get to nagala rugby or nagala ball, but.
The curry cup was being played elsewhere.
Exactly. But it wasn't like vintage finishing the way Bayern Zen got them. So these guys in pay too. These guys never got a fella. Like the amount of chances everybody was feeling in that game, especially we in that first half before Barking Pirates score. That's where they really lost the game, because Chiefs were really in that game. Like, for me, they were the better side for most of that game. They only lacked a scoring touch. And when it comes to such games, the Tshwanangile Soweto Dab, when it comes to Soweto Dab, you always need that personality, that star player that's going to kill off the game for you. Like Go Pirates, they knew Hore Thembiko Lodge, if you give him that chance, Uko Ikora, and it happened like that. They, in previous seasons, they had obviously Gabadino Mahangu. They always have that star player, Oko Etsangi, friends for them. But then you look at Chiefs, Nokovic, you could say that to a certain extent, but Wazibana, I'm still not 100% sold. I know Bandile, our colleague, and Wamnang at one point Narki Ibrahimovic. I don't know why Ibrahimovic, but Nambisa Ibrahimovic. But you look at Bongo, they are still young. This is like maybe their second opportunity back in a Soweto Derby. So you wouldn't expect much from the likes of Bongo, Bobo Blom. They are still learning their trade. All of a sudden, you are expecting them to basically take over against the Pirates team. And the funny thing is that when you look at the game, coming into the game, the more on-form team was actually Kaizer Chiefs, because Pirates made it Pizer, Idrowa, Ijewa, Kaofela, Dintwetse, where else Chiefs were finally getting some form of momentum, picking up wins. I think they pulled off like 3 wins in a row, and then they drew, and then they came to this game. So ultimately, that's why I say they lack that star quality. Obviously, we'd expected maybe Ikakako, Marai, obviously, is not there at the moment. He's injured. Bergman, Kamapilat. But even Kamapilat in this game, he's been lacking. So I don't know. Obviously, currently, I don't think this season we'll see Kaizer Chiefs actually beating Orlando Pirates. I know they're going to be playing again in March. I'll tell you right now, they won't be beating Orlando Pirates. It's something that they still have to work on. They still have to recruit the type of players that Kaizer Chiefs fans deserve. And then that's when they'll have the confidence to come into such games and pick up all 3 points. Because right now, they can play against the team, the Tshwanangibo Stellenbosch, pick up a victory or a draw. But against a team like an Orlando Pirates, even though Orlando Pirates are better, but the Orlando Pirates has the experience, has the star quality to kill them off in this type of game.
One more thing.
We're gonna stay with Pirates. Wait. Let me control the podcast. Let me host the podcast.
Okay, alright. Yeah. No, it's fine.
No. I'm just pulling your legs, Cesar. I just want to say that we're gonna stay on Orlando Pirates. We're not gonna move. FC family, we're going to unpack We're going to unpack more. We're going to unpack the rest of the fixtures. But Cez, I want to stay with you and I want to stay on Orlando Pirates, right?
Yeah.
Because after that victory in the Soweto Derby, the next game, they lose 2-0 to Golden Arrows, right?
Yeah.
So what exactly is going on at Orlando Pirates? You know, so like what you wanted to say right now before I rudely interrupted you, yes. I want you to also add an answer to my question. What exactly is going on at Orlando Pirates?
Well, at foremost, you might think that it could be dressing rooms instructions dilemma. But in all aspects and in all view, I think it's the choppings and changings in the team. You'd find a certain 11 playing this week and another certain 11 playing next week. If you remember properly, against Maritzburg United, Orlando Pirates, they had the young Azola, who is 19 years old of age. He came on, played a great, impeccable game. He was fantastic. Of course, the coach was wanting him to also try and find some game time in that all aspects and then in all view, which he came on, he did an incredible job. So from that squad of Maritzburg United, the coach yet changed the team yet again. In focusing in terms of going into the derby. And that's when they found a little bit of difficulties. Remember that when they were playing against Black Leopards, it wasn't as simple as they would have loved to. But in all aspects, he comes in, he changes the team yet again in this fixture against Golden Arrows, which means that he changes the whole sequence and the pattern, and he makes things to be a little bit obnoxious. Brings on Mayela, brings on Tobane, and then of course the young man in all aspects picks up a caution as well in that game. So there's a lot of things which are happening in terms of Zimbabwe's approach each and every game, because he wants to change the sequence, he wants to change the system, the pattern yet again, and he's brought off Klatshwayo, he then brings in Mayela. So, in all aspects, I think he is finding a little bit of difficulties in that department as well. You know, with Fadlu as well, I'm not sure if he's really, really, you know, attaining to it as well. So I feel that at this point in day and age and time, Zimbabwe is finding a little bit of difficulties in terms of shifting the squad and finding a balance. Yes, he wants to give young stars a chance, because you've seen the likes of Thabo Munyane, Sam having to come in, Azola having to come in as well. You had Thabiso Sesane on the bench as well. And so that tells you that they also want to look into the future as well, bring in young stars so that they get used to the game. But in all aspects, I feel that the coach is finding a little bit of difficulties in terms of his tactics and his approach and shifting the team on its own, because now having to shift it week in, week out, it's a little bit problematic. But you can also feel, because there's a lot of teams that change patterns and sequences as well, but they do not change players as much as, of course, Zimbabwe has in a very short space of time.
Hosi, I want to find out from you, how much pressure is coach Zimbabwe under? I mean, not so long. I mean, he's just won the Soweto Derby. Not so long ago, he won the MTN 8. They are the MTN 8 champions. But yeah, it seems like he genuinely is under pressure.
Yeah, look, I'll tell him to Stilo Saha is at Duka, no, like it's really on fire. Because each and every result, like there's so much scrutiny. Like even if when they win or even when they draw, there are still those question marks as to was it a vintage Pirate performance, right? All that things there's that element of maybe they were just like maybe penalty here or the other team Azanga a penalty. So there's always been those question marks. I remember even before one of the press conferences was asked like straight up, does he feel the pressure right now? And obviously Uko Uchole now, I know Honano, the pressure is on. Obviously, Uko Uchole the Pirates, where you expected to win almost every single game. When you don't do that, automatically the pressure turns on. But most of it, I think it comes from the frustration in terms of his selection. I think Keza mentioned the changes that he has been making, but for me, I would say also the lack of changes in certain areas. Like one of the players that people are frustrated by, or frustrated by, is Barkman Makaringe. Oh, yeah. Because Makaringe, whether he plays well, he plays okay, he plays bad, it seems like his starting lineup spot is always safe. Whereas most of the other squad members, you can see Thabang Monare coming in and then next game he won't be in. Or you can see the likes of Bongani Sam coming into the fore and dropping other players. So you see those changes, but it doesn't affect certain other players for whatever reason. I don't want to get into bargaining these speculations as to why certain players are not being changed or whatnot, but there is that frustration, especially when you talk to Orlando Pirates fans. Makaringe is one. Most of them are having question marks about. Dion Hoto is coming also into that list of players. So right now, and any bad result or another string of bad results, you have to wonder how long he will be in that chair. If he had lost him, I suspect we might be talking a whole different story, whereby we are talking about who's the next coach coming in. So that game, it effectively gave him another lifeline. Mm. So he's skating on very thin ice now.
I just want you to just explain the tactics to me. You know?
Yeah.
They're playing a false nine.
Yes.
You know? Mm. They're playing a false nine. This is the team that has Gabadino Mango as a striker, Zakelele Basa, Tsego Fatso as well up front. These people have strikers. It's not like there's a dearth of strikers. They're playing a false nine. Nyaoza being played at right back, sometimes part of a three-man defense. Can you please try and explain and make me understand what is going on with the tactics at Orlando Pirates?
He wants to add numbers inside that box. It's a simple, you know, kind of a trigonometry type of a one when you get to look at it. Because now it's all diamond shaped, whereby Sam, if he's playing quite a high line, if he's on the pitch, it then allows, of course, Nyaoza to then also be high up in the pitch, because then it allows Ben Mutsuare to then just be dropping deep a little bit, and then allows Happy Jele as well as Tyson Tlajoy when they're on the field of play, so that they can be able to defend as much as possible. Then that releases Ben, it releases Monare to go forward, so that he can be in support with Vincent Pule, Tembikosi Lodge, and that also kind of is because they are good finishers, then it helps the team to be balanced, especially when they get inside that final third, because it adds numbers inside that box. So whenever they lose the ball, so that they can be able to press. But it's gone away now, that high press that they would love and always make Orlando Pirates, in terms of whenever they lose the ball, they retrieve it much more quicker. So it's gone away, and it's something which is not doing them very well, in terms of, because other teams have seen it, because Orlando Pirates is no longer pressing. Like yesterday's game, Golden Arrows, they were the ones that were playing quite a high line and pressing them deep and not allowing them space and time to maneuver on the ball as well. Zakelele Basa, we understand. Yes, he's injured. Mm. You know, we understand that he's injured. So far, to Mabasa, I'm not sure about his current form thus far, because he's been on and off at some point. But he's a prolific striker as well. A striker that knows how to play right on the shoulders of the last line of defense. He's quite a predator and a poacher, because he's managed to score important and vital goals for Orlando Pirates. And that on its own has helped Orlando Pirates, because it gives them that certain edge going forward, and it gives them that certain edge whenever they're pressing or trying, whenever a team is trying to build from the back and making those low patient build-ups, you can be able to then press and make life uncomfortable for them. But Makaringe as well, you know, having to join in the attack, poor decision making at times, and then it kills Orlando Pirates whenever they're defending. And then it becomes there was a situation, of course, against the Kaizer Chiefs past weekend when it was a 3v2 situation where Hlatshwayo committed and Manyama skinned him. And then it was Nyawuza and Happy Chele who were left. And they were lucky when we spoke about it that Manyama ballooned the ball over the crossbar. But the tactics hasn't been really, really profiting them. From a 4-3-3 formation to a 2-1-2 formation. So that tells you that they're playing with two defensive midfielders, which is Munare and Ben Mutsware. And that on its own is kind of a little bit unbalanced and unorthodox when you get to look at it, because one has to stay and then has to marshal that defense, has to compete in that center of heart of midfield, has to make those crucial and vital tackles so that the team can come back and reshuffle. And then if Mayela, who will be on that day, or of course Nyawuza, he can then be able to cover them whilst they've gone up and being adventurous and trying to make that final cross. So in terms of their tactics, It's not been working thus far, because it's been really changing them from a 4-3-3 formation, which was working for them. Kapadino Mango at some point is coming on, he's not really playing his normal fluent football, he's fighting with players sometimes. There's a lot of things which are happening there.
All right, guys, one final question. We're going to go to a break and then we'll come back for the other fixtures. Did the Soweto, and this is a question for both of you, did the Soweto derby paper over the cracks? Did the Soweto derby win for Orlando Pirates paper over the cracks?
Let me, I think, yeah, it did, because most of the issues, in fact, I would even go further beyond the Soweto derby. I think the MTN 8 final trophy that they won, it papered over a lot of the issues that Pirates had. Because remember, even prior to that final, they were struggling with form. They were only winning decisively in the cup competition, but not transferring that form over to the league championship. So it's something that has always been there. As I said, I speak to quite a lot of Orlando Pirates, and even though they did win that cup, there was always that thinking. Because for us, when they won that cup, the thinking was that, okay, now Pirates need to push on. Now Pirates are going to not just challenge, but actually win the DSTV Premiership, and maybe for other competitions. But so far, it has been more of a disappointment. And for a team like Pirates, that's the reason why we say we expected them to push on. If it was maybe any other club, I would understand. You've just won 8 million. You don't want to say it or to see it, but you do understand on a human level why a team would drop off slightly in terms of their performance, because they've almost reached their peak, and once you reach that peak, you are bound to go down. But for a team like Orlando Pirates, with the quality that they have, it was supposed to actually spur them onto better and greater things. Mm. But we haven't seen it thus far. Hence, I say, even this game against Kaizer Chiefs, look, they've had a good run of form, but ultimately, the issues of Kaizer Chiefs have always been well documented. And I've said it before, against an Orlando Pirates side, it was basically men against boys. So a game like this, a Soweto derby like this, it came more or less at the right time for Orlando Pirates, because the coach himself knew that he was under pressure. He needed a victory. So it's easy to put a spin on it and say, we won the Soweto derby. And then what happens next? You get beaten by Golden Arrows. Mm. So that's what I would say. This result, the M10-8 final and the Soweto derby, grabbing that they put on Chiefs, they just flattered Pirates, because ultimately there are too many issues within that squad, and I'm thinking we are going to see those issues unravel slowly but surely over the coming week.
All right. Yeah. Moving on to the next batch of fixtures. Cesar, SuperSport 1, Morocco Swallows 1. You know, both of the clubs are in a title race. I think we can all acknowledge that. Unpack that one for us.
Well, it was an interesting game when you get to look at it, because now Morocco Swallows, I'm finding them to be spoilers, party spoilers most of the time, whereby a team would lead the game 1-0 and thinking that they can be able to then get the 3 points, and then Morocco Swallows out of nowhere just score an important all equalizer. They've done it against Orlando Pirates, they've done it against Mamelodi Sundowns, and they've done it past weekends against SuperSport. They've managed to beat Kaizer Chiefs. So in all aspects and in all view, I think that, of course, in that week, Kaizer Chiefs were finding a little bit of difficulties in terms of their pattern and their way of playing. But Kaitan Lutembu is not really happy about the performance, because SuperSport started on the front foot. It's nice to see Mohomi getting to play out there yet again. And we know he's a prolific individual, great passer of the ball, has good passing range. And he dictated the pace of the game inside that middle of the park. They were finding a little bit of difficulties, and the likes of Hamilton weren't able to then maneuver around that defense as much as possible as they can. But in all aspects and in all view, Vuyamiri having a lot of experience, Thabo Matlaba as well, coming into the foyer and making sure that he can be able to then just calm the troops and then be able to then play their normal fluent football. Quite admirable. I'm admiring what Trotter is doing also in terms of the mindset, the psychological mindset type of a thing. But in all aspects, it was a great game, great game of two halves as well. Element of fortune yet again that fell kindly to SuperSport. Mohomi having to be outside of the box where he normally would be when he was playing for Free State Stars, and before he played for Free State Stars was also playing for United FC before they sold it under Dance Malisela. So that tells you that he's brought a little bit of a different stature. Kabuza, Afrante, Khobla, we know they always are such a fantastic individual. Sipho Mbule, you'll always dominate that heart of midfield in all aspects. And he's calm about his decision-making and his decision thinking as well, his vision and his awareness as well inside that middle of the park. Even though it's congested or it's compact, he would find gaps and spaces. And that kind of made it a little bit simple for them. But I'm happy for Mtetwa. Yet again, he's been getting men of the matches for Morocco Swallows. And that's why Trotter is entrusted with such a big task, having to be in that heart of midfield. But Morocco Swallows, with that late equalizer, spoiled the party yet again.
All right. Jose. The Golden Arrows getting all the KZN bragging rights, beating Maritzburg 2-1. How did that game go?
Look, Golden Arrows, as you said, this was a KZN derby. So far, Golden Arrows, they've been able to... They were able to bounce back from that disappointing result against Cape Town City, whereby they lost 4-2 and came into this game maybe lacking a bit of confidence. And as you said, it was a KZN derby. Any derby in world football is not easy. We know we've seen it with the likes of the Soweto derby or Tshwane derby. So it was a very important game for them to win. And ultimately, they did so via the goals of Charlie and Knox Mutiswa. Knox Mutiswa, the veteran there. And then obviously, Maritzburg pulled one goal back via Thabiso Mokutumela. But from a Maritzburg perspective, even the coach lamented the fact that they lacked intensity coming into such a big game, which is very strange because the last thing you'd expect from an Ernst Middendorp coach team. You would expect them to at least come in a hardworking attitude from minute one to the last minute, working for every ball, fighting for every ball. So once the coach says that they lacked intensity, you start to worry about Maritzburg, and you start to understand why they are right now fighting off relegation. So it's a good victory for Golden Arrows. I'm sure we'll speak about also them. We already spoke about, in fact, them picking up a victory against Orlando Pirates. Mm. So it's been a good week. Obviously, they'll be also facing up against another KZN rival in AmaZulu in the NedBank Cup. So hopefully they'll be able to pick it up against Benny McCarthy's team. But for Golden Arrows, man, we really need to give them props. Like, they are number four on the league. And
they're playing some exceptional football. Oh,
exactly. Hey. Exactly. And that guy, the coach Ngiza, right? I think it's Coach Ngiza. Like, that guy, I think in the last player and coach of the month awards, Brendan Truter obviously walked away with that award, but I wouldn't be surprised if this guy scoops up the next award. Most people were earmarking actually him as maybe another person to be a recipient of that prestigious award. So he's doing a great job. There's no doubt about it. He's, as you said, it's not like they are parking the bus or anything like that. They're actually playing football with youngsters. Yeah, with youngsters, maybe not well-known household names, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of these players getting linked with the big clubs in Gauteng. We all know how it is in local football. But so far, right now we are obviously at the halfway stage of the season, I would easily give them an A+ in terms of their effort and application in terms of how they were able to get on with their business without really making too much of a noise. So right now people are actually seeing the fruits of those labors.
All right, Keza, 10 men Bloemfontein Celtic 1-0, winning 1-0 versus TTM.
It was always going to be a case of Bloemfontein Celtics really winning that game, because now TTM haven't been playing good attractive football, and we know they have been having a little bit of difficulties. Ndengane as well hasn't been really disciplined in terms of his way of, you know, tackling and getting into a challenge. You know, he picked up a red card. And then it also made the squad to be a little bit unbalanced. It was great to also see Mlungwane playing in the field of play, and having to also kind of make TTM to gel a little bit there. Rakgale is not really having one of his impressive ones as well. You can tell that he's giving the ball away cheaply some point, his decision-making. But there were times where he was looking much more livelier. And we know Bloemfontein Celtics, they are always up for the challenge, you know. Shabalala at the back there, as well as Tobani as well, the young man is doing prolific, the captain. I think they're also kind of missing Dumiso Mabena as well, you know, which why then of course Baloyi, Kolani Baloyi, he's the one that's having the armband right now. He's making sure that they can be able to play good attractive football. But John Maduka, exceptional approach, was fantastic to also see how they perfectly executed it even when they were under pressure, you know, because it's not really easy to beat a 10-man side. You know, football will tell you that it's not simple to beat a 10-man side, even though you can be able to beat a 10-man side. But hey, you know, the referees, I'm not sure why they are making some poor decisions at some late these past few games, there have been a lot of decisions which have been poor for me, you know, especially when you're supposed to be giving a blatant penalty and then you're not calling a penalty. Seeing referees being suspended like this tells you that, hey, yeah, we really need to, you know, work in terms of the technical director from SAFA having to make sure that he reassembles the squad and bring them back into order, because now it's really not doing us very well. But in all aspects, a very good win for, of course, Bloemfontein Celtics, very well deserved. And you can tell TTM, they're finding a little bit of difficulties now. 9 points, they've played 14 games, they've won one, they've a minus goal difference of 13. So Black Leopards are also sitting on 9 points, Maritzburg are sitting on 9 points. I feel that Tsakumba Tsamatibandira could be going back into that led African Championship.
Wow. Speaking of clubs that could be going back or going to the Glad Africa Championship, Hossie, it's looking bleak for Black Leopards, losing 3-0 to TS Galaxy.
Yeah, look, I did back in Black Leopards, but like, you remember they beat Orlando Pirates, and I think they were even maybe cracking some crickets, like it was the 31st of December or something. But look, this is the funny thing about a league format. We all know, like, getting a victory against a big side doesn't necessarily guarantee you that you're going to stay on in the next season. Like, 3 points against an Orlando Pirates side or a Mamelodi Sundowns side, it's just 3 points. It's the same 3 points that you get against a struggling side in your bottom half like TTM. So right now, Black Leopards are and they fired, I think, they fired their coach not so long ago. I forgot the guy's name, the white guy. But basically now, Mutsurbo, Nifonolo Siema, and some of their assistants.
Oh, yeah. Two fights. They did part company with
Delhi. Yeah, Delhi was the one.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Dylan Kerr doesn't have the best of luck in terms of these Polokwane's teams, because which was first Polokwane, what is this team that got relegated? Polokwane City, that fired him, and then now it's Black Leopards. So he doesn't have the best of luck, and honestly, I don't know what they expect out of him, because hey, Black Leopards, I don't know, man, what's going on, because that squad, it's not good enough, to be honest, for PSL, for the PSL. It more or less looks like a Glad African Cup team right now. So hopefully they can be able to turn it around, but I doubt it at this stage. So it does look like we are going to find ourselves with two Limpopo teams being relegated at this point. At least one of them get with a guaranteed relegation, because we all know in the PSL you do have that second chance if you finish in the 15th position. So maybe that's their chance. They will be fighting for that 15th position between them and TTM. But for me, they just look like a Glad African Championship side right now, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, because the January transfer window, I think it's more or less closed, if I'm not mistaken, or it's nearing to be closed. Yeah, so, and they haven't really done much in there. So, yeah, I don't think there's too much they'll be able to do or to arrest this situation. So, I think it's almost.
I don't even see them, Kosi, actually, you know, beating any team right now. I don't think they could pick up points against Chippa United. I don't think they could pick up points against Bloemfontein Celtics, Stellenbosch. Probably a draw against TS Galaxy could come, but AmaZulu, Baroka, Golden Arrows is even much more worse for them. Maybe TTM, they could pick up something there. But against Maritzburg, Chippa United, Bloemfontein Celtics, I don't see them really, you know, performing very well there because they're off balance. Yeah. You know, Flonono CM has been thrown into the Lions then now. They want him to make something out of nothing. You know, TDL, yes, I know his methodological type of thinking. Well, Spy, he also did it with Duncan Lichisa at some points before he went back to Free State Stars, you know? So for me, hey, it's a little bit quite interesting. They will be lucky to find themselves playing in the playoffs or being on that 14th spot prior to anybody that is going to step up from that 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th spot.
Mm. All right, Keza, staying with you. Baroka 1, Cape Town City 1.
Baroka, a team that also is really, really making sure, you know, that they're playing that good type of football. But in all aspects, it was a great game of football, you know. I think that it was... Cape Town City, they do themselves know the importance of picking up points. And I feel that they're finding a little bit of difficulties, you know. And it's a case now for them with the likes of Mtanzane, of course, with the likes of Mpo Makola as well. He was brought on this past weekend, and I was quite marveled at him. He was playing good, attractive football. He was getting into areas. They've also, of course, signed... our former captain into the technical staff, Mbazo, Aaron Mukwena. He's also instilling the right type of mindset into the players as well when you get to look at it. But that draw kind of derailed Cape Town City because they had a chance to be above Orlando Pirates this past weekend, you know. So that on its own tells you that now they have to go back into the drawing board and try and to play. You know, of course, Orlando Pirates have played 16 games, and them playing 14 games right now, they'll be still playing their 15th game. But as you said, that we are at the half of the season now, the campaign of the DStv Premiership. But Baroka, Tlantla Mkaka, I always allude about him. You know, Tidi Sopachi, those Sowetan boys, I think that... They just have to up their antics now a little bit because they know football. They are aware of the right type of football. And Augustin as well, I think that he needs to also just calm himself down and try and play his normal fluent football. And the coach of Baroka, you know, him too, he knows that a loss in the next game, he's on the rocks as well.
Wow. All right, Khosi, you know, Mamelodi Sundowns beating Chippa United 2-0, and also on the day where the Madisha family informed the nation and informed Mamelodi Sundowns and confirmed that Mocheka Madisha is no more, a young man losing his life at the tender age of 25, I believe. So obviously with a heavy heart, the boys at Mamelodi Sundowns, they've been mourning two teammates, having lost them in the space of 4 weeks. Going out there and doing him proud and making sure that, you know, when he's up there looking down at the team, you know, enjoying the fluid, entertaining football that he was such an instrumental part of. How was that game for you?
It was an emotional game, to be honest, because as you said, it was the first time over a month now that you finally have that confirmation from the club and the family that their star defender had passed on. So it was one of those games that I think if you put almost any side against Sundowns, they were likely going to beat them because they wanted to just bid a good farewell to their to one of their own. So Chippa United, unfortunately, was that team on that day, and truly they did not stand a chance. It was a very emotional game, to be honest. I was just seeing the pictures on social media during the day, from the Mamelodi Sundowns social media pages, from Instagram to Twitter, and it was very emotional, and you could see it also with the players finally getting to mourn their teammate. It's one of those things I don't really know how to put it in words. I wonder how the atmosphere in that stadium was like, because obviously we are not allowed to go into these games. So I think it was more or less a very somber one. So it was one of those games like, let's just get it done for our teammate, send him off, and just try to move on with the greatest of respect to Mucheka Madisha. So I really don't know how to put it any further than that. Obviously I can speak about the goals. Lebuamo, my boy Gaston Sarino, scored. Good to see him back in the side and scoring, contributing to the team. But it was just a sad experience for everyone. If you're a Sundowns fan like me, it just hammered home something that we always knew from a long time ago at the back of our minds. It just hammered it through a bit more that this guy is no longer there as he was reaching his peak. So
Mucheka Madisha was a mercurial talent. He was just getting into the peak years of his football. His amazing footballing career, having won at least one accolade in every single professional season of his at Mamelodi Sundowns. He leaves us with nothing but amazing memories as Sundowns fans and as South African football fans, and he will be sorely missed.
Yeah, most definitely, yeah.
Okay. All right, there's our last fixture to discuss was the third win in a row for Coach Benny at AmaZulu, in a very, very entertaining 7-goal thriller against Bloemfontein Celtics. Unpack that one for us, brother.
It was a great game of football, I must say. Of course, it was always going to be interesting. Skakane Stebe, quite, of course, an industrious individual, was dominating. But Lehlono Majore, I think that he's also having a great one there at AmaZulu. And you can tell that Benny McCarthy has come in with the right type of mentality to the team as well, bringing in, of course, Sambo Nomvete as well as Monique Joseph. That tells you that he wants to strengthen, you know, the team as much as possible as he can. I think it was end-to-end stuff. You could tell. It was attack after attack. Both teams were eager to play the ball much more quicker in terms of moving it around, having to play it and using the width of the pitch to the advantage and unsettling one another. You know, playing those pickpockets of spaces, those defensive splitting passes in and in between that last line of defense. Great cross, great delivery, of course, in the box. Majoro finding himself in a very sensational area, and it profited a lot, you know. Shaka Zulu, he's also having a great one as well. I must say that after his Kaizer Chiefs days, you would have thought that he would have shown off a little bit, but he went to Cape Town City under Eric Tintler and of course partnering with Siamedi, you know. He was a great and prolific individual. So having to see him getting on the score sheet, that tells you a different perspective view. But that 7-goal thriller really was end-to-end stuff. Got you sitting off to your edge of this. It's a great, fantastic match of football. You know, Benny, his tactics, they work perfectly well. His approach, John Maduka as well, in terms of the midfield. You could tell there was a stage in the game whereby, you know, the intensity of the game was quite high. Both teams were attacking one another with such finesse and such speed and such high intensity as well. So, of course, Memela as well, having to also make sure that he comes onto the team and brings in a little bit of a different stature in terms of going forward and having to be disciplined. I'm happy with what Benny McCarthy has done. Zuke, if you remember him, he was part of Free State Stars at some point. He was playing alongside Moholi. So he's added him in there. Also played for Chipa United as well at some point under Dennis Malisela, when Lihlono Nomasalesa was part of Chipa United and he was making havoc and making magic at some point. Zuke, in that heart of midfield, he's been dominant for AmaZulu. So he was the balance. He was the shifter. He was the mediator as well inside that midfield. So it made life difficult, of course, for the likes of Baloyi, when you get to look at it, and the likes of Palani as well. They were finding a little bit of difficulty to gel and play their normal fluent football. But it was a great game and a much, of course, needed win for Benny McCarthy, who has really done a fantastic job, and AmaZulu having done a fantastic job in terms of winning back-to-back games.
All right, so guys, I just a little discussion that I want us to have before we close the podcast. With Mamelodi Sundowns topping the table, I beg your pardon, I just want us to discuss this. Who are their real challenges, their legitimate challenges, and who are the pretenders?
Yeah, I think right now, if you check out Grand, like, you have the great story, Rocco Swallows, obviously coming from the GLAAD Africa Championship. Most people didn't think they'll be doing so well, apart from me, obviously, because I'm a genius, obviously. So I saw this thing. But look, Oringa VAR, I think right now Sundowns they don't have any true challengers, to be honest with you guys. I think most of the pack are pretenders at best, in fact. So SuperSport, if I look at their form table, they've won like two games out of the past five encounters. Mrako Swallows only have won one game out of the five out of their last five games, right? So, and these are your two top teams that are being looked at as the teams that are going to challenge Mamelodi Sundowns in terms of points. We haven't even spoken about the likes of Orlando Pirates, because Orlando Pirates, quite frankly, have fallen off to such a degree that when we started this podcast, me and Keza, we did say that Orlando Pirates are most likely going to win this league.
So far,
we've been proven very, very, very wrong. So one of these teams rattles off like five games in a row, winning streak. I don't see it changing anytime soon, because I come back to the fact that right now, as we are 15 games in, Sundowns haven't even lost a game. And this is coming from also a period where they were drawing two or three games in a row, where it looked like they were getting maybe a bit lethargic. And even during that period, they were still able to keep abreast out of all of the rest of the chasing pack. So if that the team that is on top can have a bit of a bubble here and there and still find themselves at the top, I think we are looking at a situation whereby basically the German Bundesliga, whereby whatever the other teams are doing, at the end of the season, we know Bayern Munich are going to win the league. So right now, Mamelodi Sundowns does feel like that Bayern Munich side in terms of our PSL football here. So for me, I don't see it coming. Maybe Keza is a bit more optimistic, but I don't see us going through that last day of the season. Both there are one or two teams battling it out till the last day. I don't think it will reach that
point. In all aspects, Mamelodi Sundowns, quality side, quality team, quality squad, quality coaches. Can tell the technician, the two Methodists alongside him, of course. But we know Mangoma Ngwiti is a Methodist. I always call him a Methodist. But thus far, Mamelodi Sundowns, I spoke about it before. I alluded about it and I told a lot of individuals about them really dominating thus far. They've been dominating, they've been having a decent run. Even though it's a 5-point gap between them and SuperSport, I think it's going to take something very, very special to maneuver around Mamelodi Sundowns thus far for me. Because now when you have Onyango, when you have Nascimento, Mkhize, Libusa at the back there, you still have, of course, the likes of, I'm just trying to remember his name. It will come back to me. You have a very fantastic midfield, a sensational midfield, a pulsating one when you get to look at it. You know, the tenacity about and the audacity about it is that they're playing, you know, impressive football. Serino, Mabowe, Villa. You have, of course, the player of or the current player holder of the season right now, Themba Zwane. Andy Lejal is brought on a little of a different perspective. You still have Diane Mabunda, Mkhulisi. You have Promise. You know, it's such a very decent squad. They've just made a huge signing right now with the. Duruk. And so that tells you that Mamelodi Sundowns thus far, I think the only, I mean, Swallows, that team that they have, it's gone now. It's gone. Let's be honest. That team that they really started with. It's gone. No. No, I mean, they started on the right type of track, yes. Of course, they're 5 points behind the Mamelodi Sundowns. But Mamelodi Sundowns playing good, decent football thus far. They always have a plan to come out of trouble. They were scored first here today in the NetBank challenge. You know, Kutsia making a mistake and Van Rooyen profiting from it. But guess what? They didn't panic. They just played their normal fluent football. And guess what? They found the ball behind back of the net, Stellenbosch. That tells you that Mamelodi Sundowns thus far now are the team, is the team that a lot of teams should be really worried whenever they are facing, you know, because they have a formidable squad, great technical team as well, you know, with the trio. The three magicians, I don't like to call them Meshack, Shadrach and Abednego because I don't think they can qualify to be in the Bible, you know. But anyway, let's be quite honest. It's the three amigos. They're doing a fantastic job. You know, the three musketeers, that trio there. Yeah, they are calm. You'll never see them shout, you know. You'll never see them, you know, shouting players. Yeah, they don't do that. They are calm in each and every. You'll just see one coach standing up and just giving instructions and going back and sitting down. And then the team plays their normal fluent football. They are under pressure. Lucky comes in. Oh, man. The list is endless.
Haibo.
The list.
Aye. Ladies and gentlemen, it's still.
You see what I'm talking about.
Bosch and Sundowns. And I cannot believe that Sundowns didn't
look at Lake. Amazing. Look at Lake. Zwane in the mix of things. Poor defending, ball watching. Robin Johannes. That's
one of
fortune. Shalu Lille should have done much better there. But Themba Zwane, look at what they did in the box. They know that defenders tend to play. But Shalu Lille should have done much better. But the goalkeeper being at the right place at the right time. A little bit of poor defending there from Stellenbosch. They should have done much more better there. But you can tell, took one for the team as well.
Yeah.
That's why, of course, they're attending him there right now is defense. Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys. Yeah, let's close the podcast so we can catch the last 20 minutes of this NetBank Cup encounter.
Dinyiko Hleza on Instagram. Simply Hleza Ramathebula on Facebook.
Horsey, it would be your turn.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It happens.
Sorry.
When one guy goes, then the next guy goes after. That goes.
You are stunned by that. You are stunned by the miss. Should have done better there,
I was counting the goal already, but guys, it's no problem. Obviously, Facebook hosts it. Instagram, it's K Mudisa SC, and on Twitter, KPM Star.
Mm. Sure. All right. Mine on Twitter, I am _DCSOM, and on Instagram, I am DCSO Mufukeng. For our football conversation social pages, on Twitter, we are at Football Convo. On Instagram, we are Football_Conversations. On Facebook, we are Football Conversations, and our website is www.footballcombo.co.za. This has been another episode of the 1-2 Podcast, FC Family. Till the next time. Cheers. Thank you, guys.
Shut up. Yes.
Sorino. So.
Guys, cheers. Bye.
Let's cut it because I think we fucked up.
I recalling. Next time,
Ciao.
That's it from the 1-2 Podcast. For more episodes, follow Football Conversations on Facebook, at Football Converse on Twitter, and www.footballconvos.co.za. The 1-2 Podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations.